I want to invite you guys this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. We're continuing a series here, Priorities in Prayer, that Pastor Wayne started last week. And he said something last week that really stood out to me, and I want to remind you guys that prayer is our most powerful weapon. Amen? But it's the most overlooked weapon, I think, in the Christian life that's readily available to us, with the exception of maybe fasting, which we'll look at next week. How oftentimes, as Pastor Wayne pointed out, is prayer kind of our last resort? You know, we'll do a bunch of stuff and things don't get better, and then we'll pray. Amen? Or we'll make a decision and we'll make a move in life and we'll do something and we'll move in a direction. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's a purchase, or maybe it's a business venture, and then we'll pray. After we're already committed. You know, once you've jumped off the cliff, you're committed. And it may or may not work out at the bottom. You know, maybe we find a soft landing spot, maybe we don't. And so it's important, you know, that we really begin to understand, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Amen? That doesn't mean that I'm on my knees all the time, but that means that I have an attitude of prayer. That means I'm always in communication. That everywhere I go through the day, and I don't know about you, but I talk to God a lot. Amen? It's the only way my children survive. Yeah, parents, you'll get that. Amen? Even if you have adult children, you know. Amen? Those of you who are going to be parents, we're praying for you. Amen? And then as you become parents, we'll also be laughing with you, not at you. Yeah, I remember what it was like when I had my first kid, you know, when the catastrophe happens, you're like, the time you get to the second, you're like, the time you get to the third, you're like, are you dead? Is there any blood? You're okay. Yeah. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to pray for us this morning as we open God's Word, as we look at the title of my message today, Unlocking the Power of Prayer. Father, I do come this morning, Lord, and Father, I pray for us this morning as we look in Your Word. First, Father, I pray that, Father, that You would speak through me, that Your Holy Spirit would minister to us today through Your Word, Father, that it would enlighten us. Father, that You would teach us about prayer, Father, and how we connect with Your heart, Father, and how we have an effective prayer life. Father, I pray this morning that You would just be with us, Lord. I pray that as You minister to us, Father, that this would bring about change. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, beginning Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 5. I want to read through this passage, and then I want to offer you some thoughts and some insights to this. Now, what we have here in the background is Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. He's gone up, and the crowd has gone with Him, and He turns, and this is probably one of His first major teachings in Scripture. And He begins to expound the law, and He begins to help them understand that it's the attitude of the heart, not the action, that brings about sin. That it's not, you know, actually sleeping with someone, it's to look at them with lust. That it's not actually killing someone, but it's to hate them in our heart. And Jesus begins to walk through these things. But then Jesus also takes a moment here to begin to help people understand how to connect with God. And in here in the sixth chapter, He begins to talk to them about when they do their good deeds and doing them to be seen as opposed to doing those to be seen by God. And He begins to talk about prayer, and He talks about forgiveness, and He talks about fasting. And I want our focus this morning in this passage to begin verse 5 in chapter 6 to start there. As Jesus begins to talk about prayer. And He says this. He says, and when thou prayest. So I don't want to stop there. I just want to make a note there. And when. It does not say, and if thou prayest. It says, and when thou prayest. There's an assumption here on the part of Jesus that we would pray. This should be something that's regular to us. He says, and when thou pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. Once again, I want to draw attention. But when? Everybody say, but when? But when, you know, and this is not in my sermon, but I just feel it in my spirit. I want to share this with you that, you know, you can't unlock the power of prayer if you're not praying. I just want to give you that this morning. It's not in my sermon, but I'm going to throw that out there. But when that ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all the church said, Amen. Jesus, in this passage, he gives us what we call a model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But really, I want to look at the framework of it today, because he really gives us, if you'll take this and break it down, he gives you the secret to having a powerfully effective prayer life. A prayer life that exudes in confidence. A prayer life that will not only begin to shape the world around you as you pray and God begins to move in your circumstances, but will shape you in your circumstance. Amen? Because oftentimes with prayer, that we need that as much as we need God to move. I need to be shaped in the circumstance so that I can manage my feelings, my emotions, which then would cause me to make bad decisions. Has anybody here ever run out in front of God? Amen. You know, God, he led the children of Israel through the wilderness as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and God would go left and the children of Israel would go right. Amen. God would stand still and they'd take off running. And sometimes we do that, and that's why prayer becomes so important in our lives. And so, as we look at this, I first want to note and draw attention to do's and don'ts. Jesus lays that down. It's not the focus of my message, but there are some do's and don'ts. And I want to offer you this. If the only time that you pray is when you come to church, you might have your reward. I'm just saying. I'm just going to give you what the Scripture says. That's not the world according to mine. Jesus just says, if you pray to be seen of men, and we will be seen here. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray here as the altar's open and Savannah leads us in worship at the end of the service. You know, it's an opportunity to pray. And I believe in coming to the altar and pouring out our hearts to God. But this shouldn't be the only time we pray. We shouldn't pray here and then go home. Don't use vain repetitions. I'm not going to belittle anybody's other faiths or religions, but, you know, God's not interested in a rote exercise. And sometimes people, we can get locked in some prayers and different things. Unfortunately, we as Baptists and Protestants, we don't fall into that category. But I encourage you, prayers should be from the heart. Amen? It's a heartfelt thing. So some things that Jesus encourages us not to do. But I really want to focus on what Jesus encourages us to do. And he says, after this manner, therefore you should pray. And the first of that in the prayer, and I want to draw your attention to, one of the keys to unlocking powerful prayer, the first one to unlocking powerful prayer, is that it's relational. Prayer is relational. I have a relationship with God. And Jesus says here, he says, our Father, mine and your Father. Now, as I say that, a couple of things I want to draw attention to. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there has never been a time when you've accepted Jesus and you've asked Him to be the Lord of your life, you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you don't have that relationship. Your prayer is short-circuited right there. I would encourage you today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you suddenly this morning you wake up and realize I don't know Him as well, I'd love to talk with you about that. Love to share with you the opportunity how you can connect and you can make that relationship and you can be born into the family of God. But powerful prayer is relational, understanding that our Father, as Christians, we enjoy a family relationship. You have a Father in heaven. I have a Father in heaven. And this relationship that we have is with the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. And it is a relationship that can never be broken. Now that's comforting. Amen. And it exudes confidence in me that I can come humbly but boldly to the throne of grace in my time of need, and I can find help because I have a Father. How many parents in here? You know, even if my answer is no, my answer is in love. And if my answer is yes, my answer is in love. And I don't know about you guys, but I love to be able to do things for my kids. Amen? And we have a Father. And it's relational. And we need to know that. And one of the things I want to offer you this morning, because sometimes in this life, we don't have good examples of fathers. Anybody? You don't need to raise your hand, but some of you might say in your heart, I didn't have a good example of a father. Well, what kind of father do we have? Because sometimes that earthly manifestation of fire. That earthly father becomes a representation of God. Recently, we had a memory verse, and I love this memory verse, and I want to give it back to you because I want you to know what kind of father we have. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. It was our memory verse just last week, and it says, "Herein is love." Herein is love. Not that I love God, not that I sought after God, but that He loved me, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for my sins. And that's a big word. It's a legal term. Propitiation. It simply means to be that sacrifice which appeases. God's not mad at us anymore and never will be again for those of us who accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the kind of Heavenly Father we have, and that's the kind of Father we come to when we begin our prayer. Our Father, Abba, Daddy, in heaven. And I can come humbly, and I can come boldly, and I can come confidently, because I know, like any good parent, He wants to hear from me. He wants to talk to us. He wants to know what our problems are. He wants to know what our thoughts are. He wants to know what our... I mean, He knows these things, but He wants to talk to us like any good father. You know, my kids, my two oldest kids are in that stage, you know, that where they separate themselves and then they don't want anything to do with the parents. And so I have to seek them out. So I truly understand kind of in some ways what God is. You go through the parenting phase, you understand what God feels like whenever we ignore Him. And He's calling. Your phone been ringing this week. Jesus on the end of the line. God's on the end of the line. He's saying, "Hey, what's up? I'd like to talk to you." And He wants to hear. He wants you to come. We have a Father who loves us with a love that perhaps we will never fully understand this side of heaven. And that's the first and I think most powerful key. It's understanding that you have a relationship with God that allows you to come to Him with anything, confidently knowing that He is going to hear and He will move heaven and earth if He has to take care of whatever situation you face. Amen? Doesn't matter. We don't need to worry about, was God mad at me? Is He not hearing me? Is He ignoring me? Have I done something? No. No, we have a relationship this morning with the Creator of the universe. And He loves us, and we should be confident in that. The second thing about prayer, unlocking this power of prayer that I want you to know, is that prayer establishes perspective. Sometimes in our circumstances, in the midst of our lives, things begin to happen, and we can kind of get stuck in the muck and the mire. Have you ever felt like in your life you're going through things that's like walking in a fog? You can't quite see your way, and you're just kind of feeling around. And it's like, God, it's just like I'm overwhelmed. These things, they keep coming at me, and I'm just not sure. And what do I do? And I'm just feeling lost, and I'm feeling just like I just can't find my way, and I keep tripping over things. But when you connect in prayer, this is a great thing, because prayer is a spiritual thing. Amen? Now, I know you're having a fleshly experience where you may be in your prayer closet or you may be here at the altar, but you're actually spiritually stepping into the throne room. The book of Hebrews says, "Let us come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace." See, we come in prayer. And I'm stepping out of what's going on here. And yeah, I'm still in my body. Amen. You know, I'm looking forward to the trumpet sound right now. I'd be cool with that, man. Let's you know, because this body's breaking down. Amen. I found out last week just how bad, out of shape I was trying to chase my dog around the house a little bit in the living room. She likes to play. And I did about 5 laps around the house, had to sit down. I was like, and I thought, dang, baby, we do need to get that gym membership. I got to get to the gym. I know I'm slim and looking good, but, man, I am way out of shape. I got, you know what I'm saying? I got to, yeah. You need to understand that when you begin to pray and that draw attention, our Father, who art in heaven, where is God? He's above everything. And when I begin to pray, it gives me an opportunity to rise above, to see some perspective, to begin to see this the way God sees it. And it's so important that as we pray, it draws me into communion with God, who's above whatever is going on in my life. It helps me to rise above my circumstances and see things from an eternal perspective. And oftentimes in prayer, that's what we need. I need a fresh view of this. I need a fresh insight, because I've been looking at this and I've been racking my brain about it. I've been trying to figure it out and I just can't quite get it. And I'm not sure what to do. And I've talked to this person, I've talked to that person, but I don't have peace in my spirit. And I need to be able to get above. Amen? And see, just like this man on the mountain here, you see where he's at? He can look down and see everything, and things come into view. And you can see things you haven't seen before. And as we pray and we understand that as I pray, I'm praying to my Father who is in heaven, and I'm entering into that, and I know that as I pray and I enter the throne room, it's bringing me above my circumstances and helping me to see things the way God sees things. You know, I've often heard it said, you know, that our life is like being on the bottom side of embroidery. Some of you guys that have my grandma embroidered and stuff, and I remember I'd be laying in the floor watching TV, and I'd look up and I'd see that. I'd be like, what in the world is that? Just a bunch of strings. But then I would stand up and I would look, oh, okay, I see what that is. And it would be very pretty from the top, but from underneath, wouldn't be. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You need to get above your circumstances today. You're struggling with something today. Is there something going on in your life? You need some perspective. In prayer, you're going to find that. It ain't going to come from Oprah Winfrey, Dr. Phil. You can watch The View. Please tell me nobody in here watches that show. We pray for you if you do. Amen. They're just mean. They're just mean. But as I pray, you know, in my time of prayers, I enter in. I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, here I am, Father. Help me understand. Help me see. The Bible says that we can mount up on wings like eagles. We can rise above whatever's going on in our lives. God offers us, and He invites us into that, to rise above, to get above the circumstances and see what's going on, begin to see things from an eternal perspective. And I'm telling you, if you'll see things from an eternal perspective, from a heavenly perspective, it will change the way you think and feel. It will change your confidence in situations. You know, it's kind of like, I love testimonies when we have those old, when we testify. That's why this morning I want to testify this morning as we give the offering. I want to tell you what good things God's done in my life. And you know, in prayer, it allows me to begin to see that, to begin to see back and to begin to see forward, you know. And have you ever been in a situation where you thought that it was the end of all? And this is particularly with teenagers and young people. I remember when I was young, I would, you know, you get in a situation, you break up with somebody, and it's like, that's the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it. I'll never go on. But that wasn't true, was it? And I know some here, and I know of some families and some of the struggles they're going through, and it's so easy to get caught in the mire of what's going on and only be able to see what's going on around us immediately. But when we rise above, that time of communion, when our spirit fellowships with the Lord's and we get to see it from an eternal perspective, you'll begin to understand that, you know what, God's going to take it and He's going to work it. Amen? We can go down to the potter's house, it says in Jeremiah. And even if it gets marred, you know what? The potter just starts over. Amen. He never throws the clay out. That's important. The third thing I want to notice this morning, this is very important, is that powerful, effective prayer esteems. Esteems. As Jesus goes on, He says, hallowed be thy name. That's an old English term for honored. Honored be thy name. You know, honor, and I've shared this, this is for anybody here. If you're not aware of this, honor is the key to relationship. If you'll honor people around you, you'll find they'll honor you. You'll treat them decently, and you'll treat them with dignity, and you'll treat them with respect. You'll find that they'll honor you if you value what they say. Prayer should always be a time of reflection in our lives and to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, how am I walking before the Lord? Hallowed be thy, honored be thy name. Now, the prophet Isaiah would say, and Jesus would reiterate it, that people at times would honor God with their lips and not their heart. Hallowed be thy name. And see, this is an important time in prayer as we establish the connection and I have the relationship. And then I'm drawn into the throne room and I'm able to then rise above my circumstances to mount up on those wings of eagles and begin to see things from a higher perspective. Begin to see things more as God sees them, as I commune with Him. But I also need to understand with whom it is I have to do. Are we honoring God in our lives and how we live? Or are we only honoring God in with our lips? 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30 would say this, as the prophet Samuel was speaking to Saul, God was speaking to Elijah, I believe was the prophet at the time. He would say to him about his children, about his house, he would say, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. His sons were not walking well before the Lord. They were robbing. They were sleeping with people in the temple. They were doing all kinds of things. And God basically said, as your sons do not honor me. They hear my voice. They know my word, but they don't obey it. And in prayer, if we really want to unlock the power of prayer, you know, because God, like any father, is going to deal with issues. And that may be the first thing. My kids come to me and Shelby all the time. They'll say, I want this, I want this, I want this. And I'm like, is your room clean? Did you pick up what is that yours? Would you pick that up out of the floor for me? How come you were mean to your sister? Well, I know you want that, but I remember the other day he was talking back to your mom. Let's deal with that first, amen? Let's make sure we have that right. Like any good father, he's going to do that. Honor is the key to this relationship. And if we do not honor God, we will never truly honor anyone else. See, when we talk about hallowed be thy name, this is why it's so powerful in prayer. Because if I can get this piece right as I pray to the Lord, if I can honor God, I'll honor my wife. If I can honor God, I'm going to honor the people I work for. If I can honor God, I'm going to honor you. If I can honor God, I'm going to honor my children. Honor is the key to every relationship. You want to avoid negative consequences in your life? Start honoring. Start with God. Honor God. Everything else takes care of itself. And in prayer, it's a powerful time to unlock the key of prayer. Because, you know, if I'm not honoring God, God's given me clear instructions. You know, in Exodus, it's really unpopular. The 20th chapter, there's this thing called like the Ten Commandments. Right? But we're not under law. We're under grace. So we just don't even read those, right? Because that's the old covenant, right, stuff, right? And then I go out and I lie to people and wonder why things are messed up. Then I go out and I'm jealous because so-and-so just got that. You know, Facebook, social media. That's why so many people struggle with depression and anxiety. Because they're so busy looking at what you've got and they wish they had it and they covet it. Covetousness leads to depression. It leads to anxiety. You know what? You got what you got and praise God for that. I'm going to celebrate with you and I'm going to thank God that you got that. And I'm going to trust God that He's going to take care of me. Because if God will take care of you like that, certainly He's going to take care of me in His time. Amen? You ever been jealous when somebody got something? Or am I the only one this morning? I'll come down to the altar and I'll pray. I'll confess my sins. Sometimes I've been jealous. And it's important. God's given us clear instructions in His Word. Amen? And if we'll ignore those instructions and you're coming to God and you're crying out and you're seeking direction in your life and God says, all right, this is what I need you to do. If you can't honor these things and these instructions, how are you going to honor those others? God can plainly show you the way. He says, all right, man, get off here and you'll just keep driving down on the interstate. I don't understand, God. Things aren't getting better. Well, I told you to get off 3 exits ago. Why are you still on the interstate? Does that make sense? And so in prayer, powerful prayer is a time of reflection because prayer is as much about God speaking to us. It's a two-way communication, right? You get that? God's talking to us. I'm talking to Him. He's talking to me. And He's saying some things. And so in prayer, it's always a time of self-reflection to look and say, am I honoring the Lord with my life? Or am I honoring the Lord with my mouth? You got to decide. Because even if God clearly and plainly shows you the way He'd go, and He did this. And does anybody ever read the Exodus and wonder, how did these people miss it? They were at Mount Sinai and God came down and there was smoke and He spoke with the sound of a trumpet and there was lightning and thunder. And they were afraid and they saw the seas part and they walked through the Red Sea. And yes, they found that, by the way. I've seen a great show on it. And it is between Egypt and Saudi Arabia and the Red Sea. It's not some little pond that kind of... No, He walked them through the sea and they found where it's at. Walked them right into Saudi Arabia. And they saw all that. And they still died in the wilderness. I read that sometimes, and there's been a time in my life when I read those stories, but well, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have been like that. I'd have been like Joshua and Caleb. Right? I'd have went into the promised land. No. Only 2 people out of that whole bunch went into the promised land because even Moses blew it. He got to see it. But he struck the rock. God gave him clear instruction. And this is an important part to prayer because God's going to answer your prayer. I'm just going to tell you confidently today, you have a Father in heaven who loves you. And He cares and He knows what you're going through. Forgive me, it just touches me, you know, when I get a chance to say that to you. Because, you know, God, right now I can feel the Spirit and He's saying to somebody here this morning, He knows what you're going through. And He's going to make a way. And He's going to give you instructions. He's going to show you. But you're not going to be able to hear it if you won't honor Him. And even if you hear it, you're not going to take it to heart and you're not going to do it. Just like the children of Israel in the wilderness. You can see all the great things God does and you can still miss it. Amen? The fourth thing I want to invite, want you to notice, and this segues with this, is number four. Powerful prayer, effective prayer invites. When we pray effectively, we should be recognizing God's authority, and this goes back to honor, over our lives and inviting His authority into every area of our lives. We are coming to God and we are saying to Him, I will do things your way. What you say is what I'm going to do. Not the way I think or the way I should be done. The book of Revelation in the third chapter, Jesus would say to the churches, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man should open to me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Whatever circumstance, now you have this relationship with God and it cannot be broken, but you also have moral authority in every situation in your life. And you could be in the kingdom of God and you could still walk defiantly before the Lord. Does that make sense? In situations, sometimes you have an opportunity to decide what it is you want to do or what it is you don't want to do. And powerful prayer is about me and it's about saying, Thy kingdom come. Your rule. See, in a kingdom, there's a king. And we don't understand this concept as Americans, right? But Jesus would say, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, they don't question. God says to Gabriel, hey, I need you to come here. Gabriel comes here. He says, Gabriel, I need you to listen to me. Gabriel listens to him. And he says, then, Gabriel, I need you to go. And I need you to tell Mary. Anybody remember that story? I need you to tell her that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon her and she's going to be found to be with child. And I need her to be strong. Because you know what? In your culture, that's not really acceptable to be unmarried and pregnant. That could get you killed. And she's betrothed. And you know what Gabriel did? He said, God, I don't think I can do that. Do you understand the culture? That could get the poor girl killed. We can't do that to her. No, Gabriel just said, all right, Lord, boom. And he went and delivered the message. Thy kingdom come. Are you inviting God's rule into your home, into your life? Are you honoring Him? It becomes very important that in every circumstance. See, when I invite God's rule into my life and my kingdom, guess what? Who's the head of my house? Everybody said my wife. She just lets me think I'm in charge. Amen. Every man knows that. Every good husband knows that. No, God says I have headship over my house. Now, because thy kingdom come, God also tells me that I am to serve my house. I am not to rule over and lord over it as the Gentiles do, but I am to serve it the way that Christ served me as a member of the church and gave himself. And so I am to sacrifice myself for my wife. I'm to have a mutually submissive relationship with my wife. And you know what? It's so many Christian men miss this because, well, God put me the head of hell. Make sure you get mayonnaise on both them slices of bread on my sandwich. And for years, you know, and it happens. And it's unfortunate that men try to lord over their house and try to dominate their wives. But see, I invite God's kingdom rule in my house. And God says to me, Mike, you need to submit yourself to your wife. You need to love her as Christ loved the church. And at times I'm going to ask you to die to yourself. So there's days whenever I want to ride my motorcycle and Shelby says, hey, let's take the kids and go. Yes, dear. Amen. I'd love to do that. There are times whenever I'd like to do other things. I love what Jimmy Evans said. He said, your wife, she wants to talk. We'll talk. Even if you don't feel like it. I know, and it took a minute for it to settle in. I was like, Jimmy, come on, man, for real. I just want to watch TV. I just got home from work, man. Come on. Where she wants to talk, talk. See, I'm inviting God's rule into my life. But not just into my life. I'm inviting God's rule into my wife's life. As I lead, I got to give her something to follow. As I invite God's kingdom presence into my life and I say, Lord, your will, not mine be done. I'm inviting that into the lives of my children. Because they're watching. Amen. But I'm also inviting God's rule and His authority into the circumstance, whatever you're facing today. I'm saying, Lord, you are Lord over the circumstance, this trial, this struggle, whatever's going on here, Lord, and I give you dominion over it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this situation as it is in heaven. And if God be for me, then who can be against me? And that's the key to powerful prayers, inviting God into the circumstances. And not just, God, I need you to come. No, God, your will, your authority, whatever it is. If you say wait, I wait. If you say move, I'll move. If you say go, I go. If you say stay, I stay. Whatever you say is what I will do. Amen? And that's the key to powerful prayer, because God's going to give you instructions and He's going to talk to you and He's going to share with you and He's going to show you His heart and the things He needs you to do. But can you hear? Can you honor that? So we pray. We begin to invite God into our circumstances. The fifth thing I want you to notice here is that powerful prayer admits dependence. Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." I'm not all of that in a bag of chips. I am a bag of chips, though. Amen. You know, sometimes we begin to rely on ourselves. Have you ever found yourself in circumstances where you're relying on your own skill, your own talent, your own ability? I got this, God. I'm good. Oh, I got a plan. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. And we forget that we're dependent on God. And heaven forbid, when we pray, we should be reminding ourselves of our dependence on God. It helps us to control our worry and anxiety. You know, I can't do anything about it anyway. You know, in the recovery world, they have this term. It's called just for today. Because I can't do anything about tomorrow anyway. But how many people live their lives in tomorrow? They're so worried about what they need tomorrow, what's going on tomorrow, and they're just forgetting about today. God, give me this day your daily bread. The Bible says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I submit to you this morning that Jesus, while He may be talking about our physical needs, He's more talking about our spiritual needs. See, when I come in prayer, I should be saying, "Lord, give me a word for today. Give me what I need today. Give me your word today that I may live. Give me this day my daily bread." Don't overwhelm me, Lord, because sometimes the Lord will take me to places in the Bible and He'll say, "Mike, I need you to work on this. I need you to change this." And there's a lot of things I need to change. That's okay. You don't all need to tell me all at once. Don't overwhelm me. God doesn't overwhelm me either. Be passionate or compassionate with me. But I need a word today. I need to hear. Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, "Remove me far from vanity and lies." You know, and that's important. See, I got this idea about myself. I got this idea. You know, if everybody just thought and acted like me, the world would be a great place. I'm just saying, man, you guys are messed up. And I'm doing all I can up here in what little time God gives me with you guys as I get an opportunity to share the Word with you to try to change that and get you to think like I do. Amen? We'd all just be all right. That's a lie. Thank God for you guys that you don't see the world like, man, if the world was full of people like me, it would suck. Not that having one of me is a bad thing, okay? So don't take that the wrong way, okay? Remove me far from vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. You know, and I'll submit this to you guys, that one of the problems I think with America today is our affluence. We're swimming in the blessing of Judeo-Christian roots. And so people can defy God today and they think, well, there is no God because see, nothing happened. Because we're still enjoying those blessings. And sadly, I'm afraid that as our society moves further from God, that tap's going to dry up. And people will be pushed back to God. But in my life, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. You know, because if I fall into poverty, I might steal. I might begin to break God's law to try to get my needs met because it might affect my trust. Or if I get rich, I might just get complacent. Not need God as much as I need Him whenever there's struggles in my life. Thank God for trials because they push us to Him. And finally, it says, feed me with food convenient to me, you know. And that's important as we pray. You know, in our prayer, what makes it powerful and effective is it takes my eyes off of me, puts my eyes on God. I don't have the answer in me, but you know what? If I wait on the Lord, He's going to give me the answer. You know, it's, all of us are facing things and circumstances where we need an answer. But if you'll just wait on God, He's going to give you that answer. You're going to get what you need. The next thing, and very important, in number six here, I want you to know, is powerful prayer, a key to having an effective and powerful prayer life and unlocking His power, is found here. It says, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Jesus would say after this, after having this, in verse 14, after closing this, He would say, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours." The most common thing that I see in ministry and counseling in relationships where people struggle is unforgiveness. It's the most destructive thing I know of. Unforgiveness to the self brings shame. Toxic guilt will destroy you. Bitterness to the self leads to anger, depression, anxiety, worry. And you can't carry that into any relationship. Any relationship that you are ever in will only be as healthy as the least healthy person in it. And if you're that unhealthy person, that relationship is going to be unhealthy. And it's through this in prayer that we are freed. We are set free. As we pray, our prayer should always, and it's a spiritual discipline of confession and repentance. Powerful prayer as we pray recognizes that there may be things in my life that God wants me to deal with that then allows me to be confident. The Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. And there's a reason. In Revelation chapter 12, it says that he accuses the brethren before God day and night. And make no mistake that he is quick to pounce on your sin and he is quick to bring accusation to God for you. But he will also accuse you to yourself. And he will accuse you to your friends and your spouse and your children and everyone around you. Those outside the church, they call it hypocrisy. Perhaps you've heard the term. A bunch of hypocrites. I don't go into church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Nothing will destroy your life faster than unforgiveness and the bitterness that it brings. But I love what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says that if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. Everyone here sins. Amen? Especially our kids. But it goes on in verse 9, it says, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just. It's not just that God forgives our sins. He's just to do it because he's already punished sin. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then there could be no accusation. If there is no accusation and I'm not struggling with guilt, I'm not struggling with bitterness and anger, does that free and open the communication between me and anyone, especially God? You know, have you ever, anybody in here, without showing your hand, but I want you to, in your minds, go back through, have you been mad at your spouse at any point in your marriage? I know that's probably never happened in here. What happened to the communication? What happened to the confidence in that relationship when you were angry, when you were mad and you hadn't forgiven? It eroded it, didn't it? It's a roadblock. You want to pray powerfully, you want to pray effectively, keep a short list with God. Because then I can come humbly but boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need, as the Bible says. Keep a short list. Keep a short list not just with God, but you know, keep a short list with people. I'll give you another recovery principle because recovery is mostly what I do, but this is a great spiritual principle. Step number 10 says that we continue to take a personal inventory, and when we're wrong, we promptly admit it. You know what? When you screw up and you mess up in your relationship, go to your significant other and say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Don't wait. Don't not go. If you mess up, this is a hard thing as a parent with kids when you have to go and say, you're sorry, I messed up. Some of you guys can relate to that. Keep a short list. And it will make your prayer more effective. It will make your life more comfortable and more peaceful. It will improve the quality of your relationships. You know the leading cause of divorce? Anybody? You can dress it up any way you want, but I'm just going to tell you the leading cause of divorce is unforgiveness. That's the leading cause of divorce. It's just unforgiveness. I got mad about something and I just wasn't willing to let it go. Wasn't willing to say or accept apology. I mean, it's a sad thing. The leading breakdown in any relationship is unforgiveness. Church relationships, mom and dads to each other, mom and dads to kids. Keep a short list. Number 7, powerful prayer seeks guidance and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I need to know, God. I need you to show me where to go. You know, I often pray, and Shelby talks about me talking in the shower because that's where I pray to God a lot. And you can hear me talking, Lord, show me. I've gone to God many times, but I got no idea what I'm doing right now. I have absolutely no idea, and I need you to show me, Lord. I need to know which way to go. I'm like Gideon, too. I pray Gideon prayers, Lord, I need to know plainly. Please don't hide, don't mask. Man, I mean, all right, I'm going to put this fleece out, Lord, And I need the ground around it to be wet and not the fleece, okay? So then I can think a bear laid on it last night or something. I'll pick it up snow. What laid on this last night? I need to know. I need to plainly. I need a roadmap. And it causes us then to go back to our dependence and says, Lord, lead me, show me which way to go. I need you to lead me. But lead me not into temptation. You know, temptation's a part of this world. We struggle enough as it is. And I do cry out to God, Lord, I got enough on my plate, and you know I'm a knucklehead. And I'm my own worst enemy sometimes. As you lead me through this life, lead me not into temptation. You know we have an enemy, amen. An enemy of your soul, and he'll lay traps everywhere. And God leads me. I pray that He'll lead me past those traps and through those traps and help me to see those. Lead me not into temptation, O Lord. Deliver me. And part of that deliverance, I pray to God for wisdom. You know why traps work? Anybody trapping here? Any trappers? You know why they work? Because the targeted animal, whatever it is, doesn't see it until it's too late, until they're in it. And that's why we need to pray for leadership, because the devil is subtle. In Genesis chapter 3, it says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and he will gently move you to the trap. Little nudge here, little nudge there, and oftentimes we won't notice as he moves us there and sets us up skillfully until, boom, the trap is sprung. And then I'm crying out to God, Lord, oh my God, I'm in the circumstances and this and that. And all the while, we could have been saying, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me. Give me wisdom. Give me guidance. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taking you, but it's such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. My Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me, O Lord, from the evil one. Help me to see it. And when I do come to it, Lord, help me to see the way of escape. Help me to see the way out. Lord, that I might not fall. It's hard enough as it is, and we all stumble and fall, but you know, we could avoid a lot of heartache in our lives if we would pray and ask God to lead us and ask Him not to lead us into temptation, Lord. Jesus would say in the garden to the disciples, He said, can you not watch and pray? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul would talk about in Romans chapter 7, he'd say, that thing I would do not, that I do. That thing I would not do, that I do. He talked about the struggle of this human life living in this sinful body. And lastly, powerful prayer glorifies. You know, I love our praise and worship. There's nothing I think more powerful in prayer than to begin to glorify God. Get your eyes off of what's going on. Get your eyes off of your ability. Get your eyes off of your wisdom and your strength, and get your eyes on His. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. His is the kingdom, and nobody's going to unseat Him. Amen? My Father's in heaven, and He's seated on a throne, and He has dominion, and He has rule, and there's nobody that's going to unseat Him. And no matter what comes against me, if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen? I'm going to get excited. I'm going to preach in a minute. I'm going to stop teaching. I'm just going to start preaching. You know what, if you'll do that in your spirit, if you'll begin to glorify God in your prayer time, prayers of glorification, you'll begin to recognize how great your God is, and it's going to take the cares of this life and whatever it is you're going through, and it's going to make it small in comparison to my God, in comparison to your God. What is it that I'm going through that God isn't bigger than? Nothing. There's nothing I'm facing that God isn't bigger than. There's nothing that I'm facing that my God isn't in control of the circumstances, that He isn't above the storm, that He can't calm the storm this morning. Amen? You know, Jesus, when He walked on the water to the disciples, oh yeah, it's a raging storm. But you know what? Yeah, God's just walking through casually, like a walk in the park. Oh, you mean there's a storm? Well, I hadn't noticed. Jesus said to the storm, He would say, peace, be still. That's the God we serve this morning. When you pray, you should begin to praise God and recall the great things God has done in your life. Our lips should sing the praise of His glory, His power, His majesty. If you'll do that, it's going to change your perspective. It's really going to draw you into that fellowship, and you're going to move into the heavenly realm, and you're going to begin to see things from an eternal perspective. You know what? My kids fall into trouble. I thank God, take that and work it for good. Yes, it hurts me to see my children in trouble, and I don't want to see them struggle, but God, I pray in the midst of that You would use them to draw them to You. That, Lord, they spend not eternity in hell, but they spend eternity in heaven. And, Father, whatever it takes for You to do that, You move heaven, You move earth, You do whatever You need to. Lord, and I'm going to trust You through that circumstances. I only ask You for their life. Amen. I prayed that for my children. Do you pray that for yours? Do you pray that in your circumstances? Do you honor God in your prayer? Do you cry out to Him, and do you tell Him? And God doesn't need to know if you're not aware of that. God is aware of how great He is. When I pray like that, I need to know. Because sometimes things can be overwhelming. Circumstances, whatever we face, it can bring us down. But this, when you couple this, will bring you into that heavenly place, and it'll take you to that mountaintop. And it'll help you to see that. Psalms 150 says this. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." You want to change your circumstances. You want to change the way you're seeing things. You want to change how you feel. You want to take your fear captive. You want to take your anxiety, your worry captive. You want to walk confidently before the Lord. You begin to praise Him. You begin to see Him for who He is. As Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." He saw God above everything. See, your God is above everything. Begin to praise Him in your prayer, and it will unlock a powerful prayer. You put all these together, and I'll close, and Savannah's going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. You put all these together, and when you come, you will pray boldly. You will pray confidently, and then you will rise up from your prayer closet, and you will go out into whatever circumstances, and you will be God's kingdom influence. God's looking for soldiers today, warriors. We don't think about it like that, but the Bible talks about that in the New Testament, that I'm a soldier of God. It gives me in Ephesians what my armor is. And God is looking for people that will be confident in Him, that will make their requests and their petitions known to Him, and then go out into whatever circumstance and trust whatever He shows me, whatever He leads me to do, to walk uprightly before Him, to honor His name. To know that God has given me what I need today. There's answers I need tomorrow. There's answers you need tomorrow. But God has given me what I need today. That His kingdom is coming. That His will is being done in my life and the lives of everyone around me and your lives. So, Pastor, as I pray for you, I'm confident that God's will is being done. That then leads me to a place where I can honor Him. And I can stand before you today as we rise to our feet and have a time of invitation. That my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all you could think or ask this morning, whatever your need is this morning. The altars are open. Whatever you come and you need to pray and ask God for. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I'd love to meet with you about that. If you're here this morning and you're burdened, God is ready to meet you at the altar. Come this morning and know confidently that your Father is waiting and He wants to hear. And then He's going to be able to show you. He's going to be able to wrap His arms around you, and He's going to be able to love you. Altars are open this morning, whatever your need is, you come.